and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you This is Sculpture.
Francesco Molina.
Sol LeWitt.
Super Lamborghini.
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News this week. The news is, Ian, we didn't podcast last week, and the reason being was because
it was a bank holiday.
Yeah, and we'd already done loads. Some of which we shall be talking about in a moment. But top news for you, Ian, what is the top news?
Well, there's some news on the website. We've decided to start a new section in the blog about food and drink and so on. We call it Arty Eateries and Cuppers. Because this is not some scheme to try and get free meals from restaurants or anything for glowing reviews. This is just the fact that we do spend all our time, a lot of time, going around town, looking galleries and so on. And obviously, we like to stop off every so often and get some sustenance from somewhere, food and drink. So we've just thought it'd be an idea to write about it and say which places we think are good or bad or can cater for people like us and our strange dietary requirements and things like that, which are cheaper, not so cheap, and so on. So I've just done the first one, and starting one of the most expensive places, upstairs, the Blue Coat. So we'll post that on the blog today, and it's a really nice place.
And I was just saying, we were just discussing earlier, I was saying it's really important that art galleries, various different places, do have nice places to eat. It's important that the coffee's good, the cakes are good, or in your case, because you're a vegan, I don't know, what do you eat?
Salad and chips.
Salad and chips. I suppose it's important that they have good salad and chips as well.
But the chips in upstairs the Blue Coat are cooked in dripping, beef dripping or whatever. So, but the good thing about that place is they are adaptable. So you just tell them you want them cooked in oil or something, and they do it for you. So that's another recommendation for them. But that's the place upstairs in the Blue Coat, which is a proper fine dining restaurant. So they can get tea and scones there. The downstairs the Blue Coat, there's the Hub Cafe, which is more snack type things. Yes, I suppose it is. I mean, we're so dedicated, we go around galleries even if we're starving. But as you say, it must really help to have a place to where you can get drink and cake, or even crisps
or chips in Ian's case. Anyway, we record the podcast in the evening on Monday evening. I'm feeling hungry already because we're talking about food. So let's move right on. So, what else is in the news? Open Eye Gallery. What's this about Open Eye Gallery?
Yeah, the current Open Eye Gallery venue in Wood Street is going to close or go dark at the end of the current exhibition because they're going to move to a brand new place on the waterfront. This is these big black boxes that are being built on Man Island. It's mostly, I think it's offices and residential stuff, but somewhere within there, they're building this lovely new gallery for Open Eye and they're trying to raise the money. And they've just been awarded £100,000 from the Arts Council National Lottery money. So that's good. Patrick will be very pleased about that, but I think he's still got to raise a fair bit of other money from somewhere.
He has. So, you know, pop along to the Open Eye Gallery and stick a cheque for a few quid underneath the door. I think we discussed this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I didn't realise that it was so soon that they were going dark. So if they're having a leaving party, Patrick, if you're listening, don't forget to invite us along. A couple of good supporters of Open Eye Gallery. I remember when it was in Ball Street.
Yeah, I remember when it was in that other place. Yeah, Whitechapel. Yes. Yeah, they should have a closing party, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, good luck to the Open Eye Gallery. Moving on, Ian, Liverpool won photographic competition of some sort. What's this?
Oh, just another bit of news. There's another photographic exhibition. It seems easy to organise photographic exhibitions for some reason, easier than other artworks. And Liverpool won. It's been up for a year now. And so they decided people can just send in their photographs, as many as you want, and high resolution as well. So they must have some big file store there. So yeah, what's the deadline? It's like Friday, 29th of May. So you go to the Liverpool won website, which I can't remember what it is. And anyway, it's on the blog, and so send in your photos of Liverpool won, and he might. Oh, I don't think the prize is such. Apart from you might be in, there'll be a real exhibition at some point. So presumably the best ones will be in that.
Of course, Definite Media are thinking about organising a photographic exhibition.
Yes.
No. Sure, so easy. Yeah, we're going to do it all on Flickr. So that's sending your photos to Liverpool One. I still haven't been in there. Oh, no, I have. Yeah, no, I walked through it the other week. Now, what else is up and coming in the news?
Yeah, that's it, I think.
No. Phil Taylor from Liverpool City Council, arts officer extraordinaire, been there 25 years, maybe, somewhere along those kind of lines. He's leaving, of course. It's his leaving due on Thursday this week. He'll be right sad to see him go.
Indeed, yes. As you say, he's been there about 25 years. And when he was first appointed, he was like the only guy doing this, anything to do with arts funding and so on. And he was in a little office in the old Toxteth Library or somewhere like that. And it's all grown from there. And he was obviously just one of many people working on for the culture company last year. And now he's going.
Yeah, he's seen us through the 80s and 90s and on into the O's. So, Phil, doubtless you'll be listening to the podcast. but yeah, we wish him well. We wish him well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, happy retirement.
And on that sad news, that is the news for this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week, Ian, or I should say the past couple of weeks, what's been going on? What you've been to? Where's been? I can't remember if I've been to very many places. But it's been a couple of weeks. Been busy doing this, that, and the other. What you been up to?
Yeah, it has been a couple of weeks. So we've been to quite a few things. So including at the Conservation Centre, there was this new exhibition called Sound and Vision, photographs by Francesco Molina, who was born in Italy but came over to the UK when he was about 16. He started touring Europe when he was about 16 or something, and ended up in Liverpool. He loved the UK and the British music, especially. He learned, like many people, he learned his English from listening to the Beatles and Rolling Stones and so on. And yeah, so he settled in Liverpool and soon got into going to places like Eric's, and then he started photographing the stuff, what was going on. And so there's an exhibition about 60 photographs of those years. I think it's 78 to 82. Places like Eric's and Cagney's, and yeah, it's a good exhibition, and we managed to get to speak to him, and there's an interview on the DefNet website.
There certainly is, and thank you, and what a marvellous interview it is.
Yeah, he's a really good talker, and he's still in Liverpool, doesn't do so much photography now, but yeah, it's a good show, as well as the photographs. There's like a slideshow of other pictures as well, so you can see what kinds of, like, U2 when they were very young, and Echo and the Bunny Man, and picture of, like, Julian Cope shopping in Marks and Spencer's. And the exhibition goes on until the end of August this year.
Brilliant. So, yeah, see if you can find that on the Definite Media website and have a little listen. No, but also, who you interviewed. Next up is...
Yeah, we interviewed Wayne Hemingway and his son Jack at the Tate, because they were part of this This Is Sculpture exhibition, which is the big show on the first and second floors of all the lots and lots of sculpture from the Tate collection, I should presume. It's called the DLA Piper Series, because DLA, I think, sponsors in some way. And so they handed it over to various people to curate different parts. And so Michael Craig Martin curated all the first floor. And he's even painted the wall. Was it him? Yeah, there's one of his own artworks on part of the wall. It's sort of one of his typically graphic things, and it actually says sculpture in large letters. And painted the walls different colours in parts as well. And lots and lots of artwork and sculptures in there. And then on the other floor, there's Wayne and Jack Hemingway. They've got this room, which is really... Have you been yet?
No, I haven't been, but I know, and it's a kind of a disco dance floor, but without music. You go in, you put headphones on, you listen to music, you go in and dance. And supposedly the opening night, it was really quite funny to watch certain people from the arts world going in there, dancing around. You know, you were just standing at the sides going, look at those people dancing. But then, you know, I've seen these people dancing for real. So, strange. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, we missed the evening, do we? We just went during the day, and we actually went on the dance floor with the Hemingways, but didn't dance. We just did the interview. Yeah, it is. It's good. It's like a quite a dark and dark, well, there's different lighting in the room. There's the crystal balls that turn around and mirrors and this big dance floor with a lighting sequence on it, all done by somebody from Lipa. I can't remember her name, sorry. And yeah, it's a sound disco, so you put on headphones and you can hear music, but nobody else can. You just hear it in the headphones. And there's two different channels, so you can have two different types of music as you go around. And yeah, so it's all sculptures that you might have seen before. It's all figurative stuff, so a lot of people might think they're dancing, except they're not moving. But it just gives a whole, it just makes it more interesting, basically, because like Jack Hemingway said, it can be pretty boring going around galleries full of sculptures. This just makes you want to stay that bit longer and maybe take a bit more interest. And I think it works that way. And also on the first floor or second floor, in the other half, there's a section which has been curated by Tim Etchells. He's an artist and director, and that's more it's interesting stuff in there, but the actual gallery is just white walls and as you used to. One thing in there is there's a performance going on. As we're going around, you noticed all these different coloured dots on the floor, and it didn't really work out what it was until right at the end. We realised that found out that there's an assistant there sitting on a chair, as they normally do, but what they do is they actually get up and move the chair and put it on the different dots. And so they'll just sit in one place for a few seconds or maybe up to 15 minutes and then get up and move to a different place. And that's a performance that's just going on all the time.
And are they getting a performance fee?
I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully. Probably not, but hopefully. Now, also, this week you've been to Arena. You've been to see the Collar Elective. I didn't make it down, but how's it going?
Yeah, it was good. It's a tiny gallery. They've got their studios on the first floor, I think it is, of the new Elevator Studios building in Parliament Street. The gallery is just like almost like the foyer of where the studios go off. So there's not much room for artwork or indeed for private view. But it's nice work. It's Collar Elective. It's to do with collage. So just by four artists. They're really nice collages. Yeah, I like the show, but it's just small space. And it's an inaugural show here. And it goes on till the 16th of May. So it's finishing this week. And then, there will be more shows coming up. So look forward to them.
Brilliant. And it's good to see another Gymnasium of the Mind opening in Liverpool, isn't it?
A Gymnasium of the Mind, yes. Okay.
Moving on past that brand new Gymnasium of the Mind, we move on to Liverpool Art Prize. Finished. So you've been busy taking down the artwork, shipping it off here, there and everywhere. How's that been going? Have Alan Al left behind any TVs?
No, they were really good quality TVs, those, weren't they? But it all came down very well. They came in and quickly deinstalled all their work, and so did everybody else. So it's all very smooth. But the only surprise was that we thought this was going to be the last exhibition in that particular gallery on the third floor, Novas. But it was so successful, they seem to have changed their minds, and they're going to have more exhibitions at least for a while and see how it goes. So that, of course, meant they have to make the walls good and repaint those blue walls that Alan Al painted blue. So we're still doing that, actually. It takes a few coats to cover up the blue screen walls. But at least that's good news. Later on this month, there'll be a charity exhibition for breast cancer. It's called the Pink and Blue Show or something. So that's good news anyway.
Yeah, they had a show last year there, I'm sure.
The pink. This time it's pink and blue because, of course, men do get breast cancer and the testicular cancer as well. So I think it's to do with that.
Ah, brilliant. That's really good. Now, also, you lucky, lucky, lucky devil, Merseysound Poets Archive at VG&M, Victoria Gallery and Museum, you got to meet your heroes and kind of like, my heroes too, Roger McGough, Brian Patton, as well as Catherine. I'll just call her Catherine because I know her and I can call her Catherine.
Ah, yes, we know her too, but we've met her before, Catherine Marcangeli, who is the partner of the late Adrian Henry. But although this is the first time I'd spoken to Roger McGough and Brian Patton, and as you say, they're my heroes from way back when in the late 60s when I used to go to O'Connor's Tavern when I was 17. And they used to perform there with the Liverpool Scene and other members of Scaffold and other poets, etc., etc., there and other places around the Hope Street area. And so I great times, but this is the first time I've actually met them and spoken to them properly. So yes, this is there's a huge archive of all the stuff from that era. It's only from the 60s. It doesn't go beyond the time when the three poets sort of split up and went started doing different projects. But there's loads of stuff, all the handwritten poems and typewritten poems and photographs and the album covers from the Liverpool Scene records, and some of Adrian Henry's artwork as well is on the walls. So it, the Liverpool University have got this archive, I think, it sort of as they're looking after it for the poets. And so it's an exhibition of at least some of the archive, maybe not the whole thing, I don't know. So it's a good exhibition, and it's on there until the 12th of September. So, yeah, we actually got them to sign my copy, the original copy of the Merseysound poetry book. That was good, signed by Roger and Brian and Catherine on behalf of Adrian.
He'd have signed it for you.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Spilled beer on it as well, probably.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him spilling that much beer. But that's really good. And so it says, you know, Merseysound poets. Is there any sound?
No, I don't think there is. We were in a bit of a rush, actually. They didn't have any time because they were going to do a reading soon after we spoke to them. So there wasn't really a long private view, so we were going on somewhere else. So we had a quick look around, but I don't think there's any sound. No.
What a shame. I'll have to go down there, check it out and have a look. Or better still, have a listen.
That would be a good idea. Yeah, I'd play some Liverpool Scene records and some of the I'm sure there's lots of recordings of the readings, I'm sure. So yeah, be good though.
Okay, and on that note, that is Roundup of the Week. This week there's lots of things opening. One of the first things that we should mention is Future Sonic, which is opening in Manchester, with most of the artwork is going to be taking place at Cube. There is such a full diary of everything that's taking place at Future Sonic, which starts on the 13th of May and then runs through to the 15th. Loads of things going on. Check out the website, which is Ian?
Futuresonic.com.
Futuresonic.com. Any more to add on Future Sonic?
We were going to go, but I'm not sure now. I'm just so busy. As I said, there's a lot of artwork in the Cube Gallery and other events going on all around. There's something on there. There's this bubble thing, isn't it? Supposed to follow some bubbles or something. And Drew's been having meetings with the Meteorological Office to find the best day to do this bubble thing. And apparently it's going to be on Friday, but of course the weather forecast might change. They've got to have good weather for the bubbles.
And of course, which I think we're going to mention later on. What's it called? Imagine. Thank you. I was trying to imagine what it was called. But Imagine. That's coming up this Saturday.
Saturday, yes. The Liverpool. Future Sonic is based in Manchester, but they've got this thing in Liverpool at the Liverpool Cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral. They're ringing the bells to the tune of John Lennon's Imagine at noon. I think it might be repeated a bit later as well. But yeah, apparently they've been practicing. Although we live quite near, I haven't heard it. Well, I've heard bells, but I didn't notice it sounded like Imagine. But I believe they have been practicing recently. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, I'm hoping that you're going to go down and record that. I'll hopefully be going along to Future Sonic. I'm kind of got my fingers crossed. I'll probably make the conference, if not anything else. But that should be really good. Now, also, what else is coming up this week? Sol the Wit. So, tell us about Sol the Wit. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. Sol the Wit. This is the piece in the downstairs room. There's been a team of 20 gallery technicians in producing the work for the past 4 years. Go on, tell us.
Yeah, slight exaggeration, but yeah, loads and loads of people working on it for the past couple of months. because it's this huge artwork painted on the whole of the walls there. It's coloured stripes, vertical and all sort of wavy vertical stripes, which sounds very simple, but upon it does take a lot of work. It'd have to be exactly to the Solowitz specifications. I think he died last year, but has left, or 2 years ago, but has left all the details and drawings and what exactly how to do it, reproduce the artwork. So yeah, it does actually open this Tuesday, the 12th of May, and so looking forward to that.
Well, and it's also, from your notes here I'm reading, the concept was to devote one room to an artist and show simultaneously in galleries across the UK. So it's not being here and it's also repeating elsewhere?
Oh, that's right, yes, I'd forgot about that. Yeah, it's called Artist Rooms, so that's what it's one artist in several rooms in different places.
No worries, but so, you know, if you're coming along to the Tate, Liverpool, to see that one, it's opening on Tuesday, the 12th of May. Come along to the Tate and then find out where else it's on. Let us know and get in touch. Let us know what you think. Also coming up this week, Wednesday, the 13th of May, Biennial Portrait DNA Archive Exhibition. What's that about? See at Seaforth Station. What's that about then?
Yeah, the Biennial are doing various things up north end of the of town. And this is Seaforth Station. The artist David Bade. I'm not sure. He's been doing some paintings, but they're not exhibiting the full paintings here. It's at the at Seaforth Station. But there will be an exhibition at some point. You know, there's an event at Seaforth Station on Wednesday from 6 o'clock onwards. So pop up there and see what it's all about. So there'll be some posters showing details from the paintings. It must be portraits. Portraits DNA. It's called.
Right. Most important thing, there will be the exhibition opening will be followed by refreshments at the former Seaforth post office. The event is free and everyone is welcome.
Yeah, former post office. There's plenty of those around, aren't there?
Former post offices, yeah, that's true. Now, moving back to Liverpool, and somewhere where you had to tell me where it was, the artist exhibition at Coffee Republic.
Yeah, the Coffee Republic Cafe. This is on Exchange Flags behind the Town Hall. Somebody called Nikki has organised this just a one-evening thing, but there's an exhibition of art by artists and photographers, and along with some music, live music by local musicians, Ruby McIntosh, Becky Howley, and Antonio Lulich. I'm not familiar with any of these, but yeah, it's a one night only, so I don't know what the artwork's going to be like or anything, but be interesting, I'm sure, from 6 till 9 on Wednesday, 13th of May, and so if it goes well, and perhaps there'll be some more. Sounds like a good idea.
Does sound like a good idea. At least you got, you know, good coffee and
cake. Coffee and cake, yes, and free entry as well.
So we've got this kind of a general theme, this coffee and cake theme going on here.
But is it a gymnasium of the mind?
Oh, I don't know. Coffee's quite good.
Yeah. Coffee of
the mind. Well, never mind. Okay, now, on the edge. Thursday the 14th of May at Novas CUC. Again, something or other going at Novas. Number one, where is it taking place at Novas?
It's on the fifth floor. They've used the fifth floor for exhibitions in the past, occasional ones, and this is another one curated by Anna Marie Quinn, who has exhibited there before. I think it's part of the Irish exhibition. She's Irish, although she just graduated recently from John Moores. So she's organised and curated this, and there's a few artists involved.
Mary Fitzpatrick.
Yes, Mary Fitzpatrick's one of them, another Irish artist, photographer, who was in the Liverpool Art Prize last year.
And who, you know, possibly exhibited the most in Liverpool throughout the whole of 2008.
Yeah, she certainly had a few exhibitions here.
It's got to be about five, I don't know, maybe more. But it was quite a lot.
There's video installation by Tim Fielding and Anne-Marie Quinn's own work. And Elish Cully, I think that might be, I don't know if she's related to Derek Cully or not. And Peter Crompton Performance Poetry. Oh, nice. Yeah. So that's viewing on Thursday, the 14th of May, 6:30 till 8. And the exhibition goes on till the 28th of May. So that's on the fifth floor, Novas CUC.
Now, this is something which we fought over earlier as to who wanted to say it. However, maybe we'll say it again.
Super Lamborghini.
This is fast-moving, DNA-spliced public artwork, I take it.
No. Just a play on the words, actually, Super Lambanana. We've had enough Super Lambananas, maybe. Artist Stephen Collett has painted a big painting of a Lamborghini. Called it Super Lamborghini. So you can see that large painting goes across two canvases. That's along with artworks by other artists, Sophie Green, John Jennings, Stella Lang, and Joe Ankara, and John Phillips. And this is in the Mocha Lounge, that's cafe on Sir Thomas Street, where they've had exhibitions for a while. So the exhibition is called Super Lamborghini, but there's other artwork in it, obviously. And there's a viewing also on Thursday, 14th of May, from 6 till 8, and there'll be some singing by Catherine Carragher, operatic.
Joe Ankara, wasn't he involved in, there was a gallery in LA, LA Gallery, I think it was called. Was that Joe Ankara?
I don't know about that gallery, but Joe Ankara and John Phillips, who's also in this, had the People's Centre Gallery in Mount Pleasant. Yeah, Joe's very good. He paints some great portraits and stuff. He's from LA, so he was in The Chants, the music group of the 60s, who played with the Beatles at the Cavern. Very interesting character, but good painter too.
He's an interesting character. It's the same person I'm thinking of, and Brilliant. That's really good. And People's Centre, do they still, the People's Centre, do they still have a gallery?
I'm not sure, actually. They certainly haven't notified me of any exhibitions for quite a while, so maybe not. But it's the same people, Janker and John Phillips, involved in this, along with Stephen Collis. I think he's one of the main organisers of the exhibitions here now.
Brilliant. Okay, now this is panning out to be quite a busy week, especially if you take in what's going on in Manchester. Yeah. Now, also on Thursday is 100 Views of...
Metate.
This is an exhibition of Japanese woodblocks. Go on, tell us more.
Japanese artist, Nana Shiomi. And it's called Metate, which is translated as, it's a Japanese concept of analogy between disparate objects. So the viewer has a wide choice of possible meanings and free associations. And they're woodblock prints, all quite, maybe 30-odd centimetres square. I don't know how many there are. Oh, but she's creating 100 of them, because the exhibition's called 100 Views of Metate. Of course, there's the old 100 Views of Mount Fuji by, I've forgotten the name, Hiroshige. That's right. All those pictures of Fuji from hundreds of years ago. So this is a contemporary one, 100 Views of Metate. And she's done 78 so far. So it's at Editions in Cook Street, and the viewing's on Thursday the 14th, 5 till 8. And the exhibition goes on till 13th of June. And she'll be giving a talk about all this in the Blue Coat on Saturday the 16th.
Brilliant. That sounds really interesting. 100 views. So there's if she's done 78 at the moment, she's still working on them.
Yeah, I presume so, yes. I'm not familiar with the art. I haven't heard of her before. I don't know if she's... I presume she's based in the UK, at least, but I don't really know. So we'll get along there on Thursday and try and have a chat to her and go to talk, maybe, and find out more about it.
That'd be brilliant. And don't forget to record it. And also on the Saturday, 16th of May, Alan Smith Photographs at Domino Gallery, private view opening from 6 to 8. What do you know about this one?
They haven't had an exhibition at Domino for a while. This is in the Greenfish Cafe in Upper Newington. I think they've been doing a bit of repainting the walls and stuff. So it's the first one for a while, and it's photographs by Alan Smith. Apparently he uses a range of cameras, including large formats and pinhole and quirky plastic-lensed Holgers. So it includes black and white, and sepia-toned and length prints. But there's a viewing on a Saturday night, unusual to have a viewing on a Saturday night, the 16th, 6 to 8. The exhibitions there normally go on at least a month, maybe 2 months.
So plenty of time to get down there and see that, but also nice place for tea and cake.
Yes, indeed, and they do a lot of veggie stuff, yeah.
I've heard that. I have partaken in some veggie stuff there. So that is lots of stuff coming up this week, and that is the week ahead. Further ahead. Ian, further ahead, after our very brief conversation about Twitter and following people and unfollowing people, we return to you. we should have mentioned in the last section about there's a gig on at View 2 Gallery, which is Liverpool Acoustic Spotlight. Their preview of Liverpool Acoustic Live, which is taking place on the Friday the 15th, though 9. So it's music. But Neil Campbell's in there. It's worthy a mention. It's really good. Pop along if you can. That's this Friday. Now, moving on to further ahead proper, Ian. What's coming up? We've got something exciting looking coming up at Wolston Home Projects. Recycled frequencies. This sounds exactly like my sort of thing.
Yeah, it's sound art, I think. It's linked in with the Hub Festival, which you mentioned a few times, which is on at the end of May, or the 23rd, 24th of May. So this is called Recycled Frequencies. So yeah, there's a strand to Hub, which is called Hub Life. And so this is part of that. If you go to the Hub website, you'll see the whole list of venues doing all kinds of things to do with Hub. And so it's just one of them. And so what does it say? It says, could the background sounds and peripheral visual elements of everyday life, which often go unnoticed on a conscious level, affect our interpretation of reality and our patterns of thought? Okay. So the few artists involved, Marianne Holm Hansen works with a focus of the role of memory and interpretation. And James Kent is a researcher in sonic art at Liverpool John Moores University, exploring sound art in immersive environments. And as Olga Korleva is a London-based artist currently studying. She works with film, video, and sound to create site-specific installations that reflect the psychological atmosphere of the space. I didn't know spaces could have psychological atmospheres, but we'll see. And La Pluma Electric, wow, gosh, from Madrid, defines itself as a multidisciplinary group which acts on in different art facets, fevered, mad, and creative. Wow, sounds good. Oh, well, it's Richard O'Sullivan, an artist, new media. He makes films that explore visual perception. Wow, yeah, sounds great. So this is you want to get along to the viewing, I should think, to get the best idea of what's going on. That's on Saturday, the 23rd of May, 6:30 till 9:30.
Wow. Wow, and of course, yeah, that's the exact weekend, isn't it? Hub Festival, Saturday 23rd. That's the bank holiday weekend as well, isn't it?
That's right, yes, yeah.
The long bank holiday weekend, which should be really good. And because it's a bank holiday, obviously, there are more. There's another event, but also next week's show, there's probably going to be loads.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots more coming up. This other event you just referred to is... every so often there's these art and craft fairs at various places. Like, there's been a few recently at Lark Lane. There was some last year on the pizza.
The piazza, as I kept on calling it.
Yeah, in front of Metropolitan Cathedral, a few other places. But this is the latest one, which seems to be really well organised and well publicised, and it's called the New Village Fete. And this is indoors, thankfully, in Heebie-Jeebies, in the nightclub there in Seal Street. Not sure who's going in. It's they've been probably asking for people to take stalls, obviously, but they want some really good leading creative designers and craft makers. And it's on all day, well, from 10 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon. I think they're going to have music and all kinds of stuff going on. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Excellent. And, you know, excellent. That's, we need more craft fairs, especially, New Village Fates. And so is there going to be tombolas and things and cakes, little cake stalls? Cakes again, back to cakes this week, back to cakes. It's always about food.
Yeah, could be. There's more information on the website, and there's I can't remember. I thought it was a website, but I can't remember what it is. But anyways, there's a... I was going to say there's a website, but I don't know what it is.
Right. On that really helpful note, Ian, and we shall be getting off. Except I'm looking here. This is the new Liverpool logo, is it?
Yeah, it came out a while ago. There's the new branding for Liverpool, City brand. So I put it on my website up in the corner there. It's got the Liverpool waterfronts, but then... it doesn't go anywhere. If you click on it, it just goes to the sort of company page that did this branding and lists a few brand advocates. That's it, really. There should be a replacement for Liverpool 08, but there isn't. And so if there was, it would go to there. Visit Liverpool are sort of taking over lots of the duties that Liverpool 08 did about publicising events and so on. So maybe it should go through to there, really.
I know. Well, let's whip it over. Let's have a quick look at it, because it's still representative of the Liverpool skyline, isn't it? But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily. It's the new Liverpool skyline.
Yeah, it's got a couple of tower blocks in there. Yeah,
is it as nice?
As nice as the old waterfront. I like it. I'm not sure about this actual logo thing. I don't think it works very well. It's a bit unless you use a really big version of it, it's not really clear what it is. It's too cluttered. And as other people have said, you don't really need to come up with images of waterfronts, Beatles, whatever. You just say Liverpool. Everybody knows what Liverpool is.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But, however, I must say, I was down at the Albert Dock this weekend. Fantastic. The museum, new museum where the Open Eye are moving into, is looking great.
The new Liverpool Museum, which is near where the Open Eye are moving into. I think it looks really good, really good. And what was I going to say? It's looking good. And Pete Carr took a great picture the other day. Yeah, there was a rainbow. We were walking through town, I think it was on Saturday, and there was some great clouds, great to do watercolours of, and there was a rainbow. So we just saw a portion of it, but Pete happened to be on the Wirral side, and he's got the complete rainbow going across the Liverpool waterfront. It's fantastic. So have a look on his Vanilla Days photo blog and have a look at that.
So, Ian, without more of ado, we shall thank our good listeners for listening in.
Yes, thank you.
And from this week's Art in Liverpool podcast, we wish you adieu.
And yes, don't forget the coffee and cake at the Gymnasium of the Mind.
Coffee and cake at Gymnasiums of the Mind.
Thanks for downloading from DeafNet Media.